You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM. Just remember, live your life.
Tickets are now available at wavefarm.org/drive-in for an unforgettable drive-in event with Negative Land and Sue C., Matt Most, and Rodney Allen Greenblatt opening. Turn out for Negative Land's legendary sound collage and real-time cinema with Sue C., along with Matt Moe's renowned electronic music and sampling culture. This and so much more at the Greenville Drive-In, Friday, May 31st. All to support Wave Farm and WGXE. Tickets are going fast. Get yours now. Drive-In is all one word at wavefarm.org/drive-in.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Bernsey's Multimedia Services, providing the Hudson Valley with a variety of video production services, including help to keep those wedding memories fresh. For more information, visit BernseyMedia.com or call them at 518-860-2751 or email BernseyMMS@gmail.com, BURNSYMMS@gmail.com.
Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Joanne Williams in Inwood, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
This is the Public News Service Daily Newscast for May 14th, 2024. I'm Mike Moen. Testimony resumes today in the hush money trial of former President Donald Trump. Yesterday, Trump's former attorney Michael Cohen was on the witness stand. According to the Associated Press, Cohen provided jurors with an insider's account of payments to silence women's claims of sexual encounters with Trump, saying the payments were directed by Trump to fend off damage to his 2016 White House bid. Cohen is expected to be on the witness stand for several days, face intense grilling by Trump's attorneys, who have painted him as a liar who's trying to take down the presumptive Republican presidential nominee. In other news, the Wisconsin Supreme Court on Monday took up arguments in a highly watched case concerning ballot drop boxes. Supporters of lifting a near-total ban say such a move would help a range of voters across the state. In 2022, the state's highest court and its then-conservative majority ruled that drop boxes should be limited to election clerk offices. But with a liberal majority now in place, the court is revisiting the issue. Drop boxes have become popular among voters in a post-pandemic world. Janelle Ludwig Krause leads the group Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin and says many people benefit from having different places to securely return their absentee ballots.
Busy farmers who need to be on their field when the conditions are dry, it makes it possible for parents that are juggling a million things to cast a ballot. For people with disabilities.
She adds drop boxes aren't just beneficial to certain geographic locations, noting they help voters in both urban and rural areas. Broader debates about this option tend to focus on whether the boxes invite fraud and could be tampered with. But the Bipartisan Policy Center says they're set up by government officials and are often under 24-hour surveillance. Election analysts say the outcome of this case could have a significant impact on the 2024 presidential race, with Wisconsin again forecast as a battleground state. A new Indiana law is stirring debate in university classrooms where students are learning to become teachers. Joel Ullery reports.
Ball State University professor Sharon Fraser Burgess is afraid the legislation might have a chilling effect on academic discourse and prevent her from creating an environment where students feel heard and know they won't face retaliation for disagreeing with her.
There is very little consideration for bad faith actors. In a classroom like mine, where we're doing this difficult work that takes an entire semester to take full form.
GOP State Senator Spencer Deary of Lafayette authored the law. He says it will broaden intellectual diversity on campuses by requiring professors to present multiple viewpoints and establishes a path for students and staff to report perceived political biases. This story was produced with original reporting from Alexandra Appleton for Chalkbeat. I'm Joe Ullery reporting.
This is PNS. Several U.S. airlines are suing to block the Biden administration from requiring greater transparency over fees that the carriers charge their passengers. They say a new rule would confuse consumers by giving them too much information during the ticket buying process. According to the Associated Press, the U.S. Transportation Department said Monday it will vigorously defend the rule against what it calls hidden junk fees. The trade group Airlines for America says the department is going beyond its authority by attempting to, quote, regulate private business operations in a thriving marketplace, unquote. The airlines say the administration hasn't shown that consumers can't get information about fees already. The transportation announced the new rule in April. It would require airlines and travel agents to disclose upfront charges for baggage and canceling or changing a reservation. Airlines must show the fees on the first website page where they quote a price for a flight. The agency estimated the rule will save consumers more than $500 million a year. The state of South Dakota ranks fifth in the nation for its rate of refugee resettlements per capita, and that rate increased dramatically in the last year. That's according to the Immigration Research Initiative. Kathleen Shannon has the details.
More refugees, or people unable to return to their home countries due to persecution, are resettling in the U.S. following historic declines during the Trump administration. According to the LSS Center for New Americans, South Dakota took in over 200 refugees last year. That's up from about 50 the year before, a 320% jump. The national rate increased 135% in that time. President and CEO of LSS South Dakota, Rebecca Kiso Knutson, says those numbers are manageable.
Still a pretty small number in our state, and definitely a size that we feel we can responsibly integrate.
The numbers don't include arrivals through Uniting for Ukraine, a separate federal program that resettled over 250 individuals in the state last year. LSS South Dakota is the sole resettlement agency in the state and works mostly in Sioux Falls, where Kiso Knutson says the school districts are welcoming, but finding affordable housing is a challenge, one faced by most communities doing similar work. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
Lastly, more than one in five Americans is a woman of color, and a new poll shows they're not feeling heard and want policymakers to address the issues they care about. The poll comes from a coalition of civil rights groups called Intersections of Our Lives. Lupe Rodriguez with the National Latina Institute for Reproductive Justice says while motivation across the electorate is lower than in the past, candidates who want to win must pay attention to women of color.
We should not be seen as low propensity voters. We need to be seen as high potential voters, and folks can't afford to take us for granted.
The poll found nearly 9 in 10 women of color say voting is extremely or very important. And that's the Public News Service Daily Newscast for May 14th, 2024. I'm Mike Moen. A reminder, you can always find more stories at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, May 14th. Local early morning temperatures range from 44 degrees in Tannersville to 58 in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 56 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be high. Today is going to be mostly dry and pretty warm. We get a high of 81 happening at 3 p.m. However, by that time, you'll notice the clouds moving in and the rain will fall on some of us. Thunder could be in the mix. Rain chances linger all night and we get a low temperature of 59 degrees. Tomorrow will be rainy all day long and we get a high of 67. The rain makes itself scarce, but does stick around the neighborhood as temperatures drop to 55 degrees. Thursday is looking maybe moist with a high of 73. Friday, high of 72. Maybe rain. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 2:33 a.m., high tide at 8:41 a.m., low tide again at 3:35 p.m., and high tide once again at 9:30 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 61.5 degrees, and the tide strength will be low. Sunset today will be at 7:53 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:31 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances have dropped back down to 40%. Plasma winds will be average at 549 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then okay across the board overnight. There are low chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 207. And this has been the better weather for Tuesday, May 14th, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Here's 2022 new music from Angel Olsen and Sturgill Simpson. The song is called Big Time on the radio at 90.7 FM, WGXC.
Good morning, kisses, giving you all mine. Pull back the curtain, show me the sunshine. Needing this coffee, needing some nature. Need it right now, it can't wait until later. We're always busy, baby, not this time.
Welcome to Food Segment on WGXC, where I investigate food places and tell you all about my discoveries.
I would definitely have the salmon tartare. I just, like, if I'm gonna have the steak tartare, and maybe on my second visit I would have the steak tartare.
On a recent rainy Wednesday evening, I convinced a few dining companions.
We all need to work on our French accents. I don't know if you've noticed, but I...
to join me at Shadow 66 at 47 Old Post Road in Ghent.
Hello.
No, it's okay. Nice to see you again.
Bonjour.
An easy-to-miss green farmhouse with black lettering and a logo of an old car.
Did you see behind me? There's a car inside. How long has it been open? I don't know. It's been open about two years.
They have cars inside at Shadow 66. Two are parked in the corner of the dining room, sectioned off by velvet rope.
There's a lot. Two cars on the side instead of putting more tables. It's really crazy.
I mean,
there is also a motorcycle inside of a back room I found when I wandered into it looking for the bathroom. We were seated at a cozy table with a view of their rectangular bar, which is shiny with bottles, glasses, and a reflective espresso machine.
I'm obsessed with the Michelin man.
The restaurant is decorated with vintage car-themed memorabilia and photographs of the Michelin man.
Should we get both?
I think we should maybe stick to the salmon.
Wait, what's a Jumbo's crab pillow? I want to lay on that.
Yeah, let's get the jumbo crab pillow.
I think we can skip the caviar.
Look at snails.
With guacamole. I also think... Oh, this menu is different. Where is the snail? They have French onion soup. Oh, yeah, we should definitely get
snails. Yeah, now they don't.
We ordered drinks and water.
Can I have a martini, a dirty gin martini?
Gin.
The flat water, served on ice, had a soupy texture.
The water tastes weird.
It tastes really fine.
It feels really weird tonight.
It literally tastes fine. It tastes totally fine.
No, dude.
It's not right.
Something's wrong with
it. It definitely feels
like the texture is really off.
And one of our seltzers came with a straw in it that was not yet unwrapped.
What's the soup of the day?
Mushroom. Mm. Invaded, and it has a little real goat cheese and truffle oil.
Our server was warm and seemed pleased with our order.
And then we'll do snails. The tartare. Both of the tartars. The crab and the mussels.
Which included every single appetizer, along with the hanger steak with mashed potatoes.
Medium rare.
Yes, yes, please.
Steamed mussels.
And the mussel, the saffron?
Sure.
And a duck leg confit.
Is there anything that you think we're missing?
Maybe I would do a side of French fries.
Yes, and side of fries.
Yeah, very small.
After we put in our order, time began to stand still.
You're fading away.
I feel like you get, like, trapped in the garage.
So you can't tell how long you've been here. Because the windows are kind of, like, have this, like, frost on them. So I feel like we should whip out some cards.
I feel like we're on an airplane where, like, everybody needs to, like, walk. Get out.
The salmon tartare was served in a depression of a white plate.
Okay, the salmon tartare has grapefruit.
With quarter-sized round crepes along its edge.
And a little salad on top of it.
I appreciated the warm and fluffy miniature pancakes with bites of citrusy salmon and herbs.
I don't want to try this soup.
My dining companions murmured praise for the mushroom soup.
There's only that one spoon.
It's really good.
I can't do truffle oil.
Which smelled strongly of truffle oil.
I think it's just mushrooms.
No, I believe it was liver.
And was rumored to contain pureed liver.
Okay, 10 out of 10. Dip the fry in the soup.
The steak tartare in a classic round mold.
The steak tartare has like capers and a lot of mayo.
So much mayo. I kind of love it.
Was served with French fries and a runny quail egg and had briny cornichons and Dijon mustard.
Basically, it's like lox, but it really tastes like smoky lox.
Yeah, it's definitely
on
lox.
Top of
a pillow of crab meat.
The most controversial dish we tried.
There's also like a cream cheese, and then you also go deep into it, and then there's a mango flavor.
Was called jumbo crab pillow.
Well, there is sliced mango, yeah, like as a side, garnish.
A chunk of creamy crab meat.
A pillow of crab meat.
Neatly shingled with smoked salmon.
I'm very confused. It's overall confusing, guys.
And what can only be described as guacamole.
There were a lot of haters for the crab pillow, but I first of all want to just say what an amazing name.
It is adorned with a small handful of herbaceous microgreens.
Well, there is sliced mango, yeah, like as a side, garnish. But...
And slivers of mango in a mango-flavored marmalade.
Everyone tried the crab pillow.
I kind of liked it.
I really liked it too.
The escargot on the menu as snails.
There's beef fat in the escargot.
Come in a trademark iron escargot dish with indents to hold the snail and its buttery juices. Theirs had a strong beef marrow flavor and finely chopped parsley.
Can you describe the presentation of the salad?
Very sculptural.
A visually breathtaking salad appeared.
I think the dressing is kind of almost like a ranch dressing.
On the menu, it is called bib lettuce fines herbs. The lettuces were arranged in a flower petal shape.
And then it has little tiny chives and fennel fronds
blooming from the center.
And some cherry tomatoes on it.
Covered in a light and tangy creme fraiche dressing.
And some, did you say chives?
It has chives, yeah.
And topped with scattered chives. Another waiting period began after our plates were cleared. So I surveyed the group to highlight which dishes were their favorite thus far.
The mushroom soup. I thought it was really well balanced.
Wow.
The duck leg confit had crispy skin and leaned against a mound of more French fries.
They're serving the ketchup in a soup spoon.
Really like, and a handful of dressed baby greens and
the
fennel.
The sauce is too sweet?
Too sweet.
The duck and the steak were both served over the same savory reduced wine sauce. The steak came with fluffy mashed potatoes that appeared to be plated with a pastry bag.
Ketchup.
Thank you.
The generous stack of mussels were served in an aromatic...
Yeah, like, it has all the herbs really, like, cooked into it.
Creamy, steaming liquid.
It's like a wonton soup spoon.
Our ketchup was served in a wonton soup spoon. And our mayonnaise in a gravy boat. Like our reflection in a funhouse mirror that we passed on our way out.
Which one's the coffee profiterole?
Three desserts.
The creme brulee, very lemony.
A citrus creme brulee.
Warm chocolate lava cake.
Yeah.
A chocolate lava cake.
Profiterole.
And profiterolles with ice cream.
Does that have different flavored ice cream in it than the other ones? Yeah. Oh my god.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Food Segment on WGXC.
Thank you.
what you get. Boy, you travel, boy, you get. Hand down a cigarette, there he goes. Watch the whirly in the yard, send on home a picture postcard. Watch the whirly ropers go.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We do not believe what is happening in Gaza is a genocide. We have been firmly on record rejecting that proposition.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan repeats the White House position that what Israel is doing does not amount to genocide. Sullivan says there has to be better protections for civilians and a workable post-war plan. Israel is already having to repeatedly retake parts of northern and central Gaza after Hamas fighters reappeared there, in a way some say suggests an endless guerrilla war. But the administration faces criticism from both sides for pausing some arms shipments. On Meet the Press, South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham said Israel is justified in using the most powerful weapons.
We decided to end the war by bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki with nuclear weapons. That was the right decision. Give Israel the bombs they need to end the war they can't afford to lose.
Michael Cohen, former fixer and lawyer for former President Donald Trump, has started testifying in Trump's hush money trial. The defense will likely attack his credibility, but Cohen also faced that issue when testifying to Congress in 2019.
I am here under oath to correct the record, to answer the committee's questions truthfully, and to offer the American people what I know about President Trump.
Donald Trump slammed Judge Juan Merchan and called the trial a scam as he left the Manhattan courthouse Monday. Republican VP hopeful and South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem has been banned from entering nearly 20% of her state after six Native American nations banished her from their reservations. Noem accused tribal leaders of benefiting from drug cartels. Meanwhile, she's still doing damage control on cable news for shooting a 14-month-old dog.
This was a vicious, dangerous dog that was a working dog. And I had to make a choice between the safety of my children and an animal that was killing livestock and attacking people.
The New Hampshire Senate will vote this week on a bipartisan gun violence bill prompted by a deadly hospital shooting last year. The bill would let the state report mental health and other disqualifying issues to the federal background check system. State Senator Deborah Altshuler of Stratum calls it a historic move to close a loophole.
We have people who are a danger to themselves and others around them and struggling with severe mental health issues who have access to firearms because we have zero stopgap.
A new statue at the U.S. Capitol honors Arkansas civil rights activist Daisy Gatson Bates, best known for her work with the Little Rock Nine, who integrated the Central High School. Each state is allowed two statues, and the one of Bates and another of musician Johnny Cash will replace two less-known 19th-century figures. I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The corruption trial of U.S. Senator Robert Menendez started May 13th for allegedly taking gold bars and cash in exchange for favors. May 3rd, the U.S. Justice Department announced bribery charges against Congressman Henry Cuellar. May 9th, news surfaced that former President Donald Trump promised U.S. oil executives he'd roll back climate regulations and ask for $1 billion in contributions. According to reporting by the Washington Post, Trump's brazen ask occurred at an April dinner with U.S. oil and gas executives. He told them they could afford to contribute $1 billion to his campaign and promised he would expand drilling in the Arctic and Gulf of Mexico and roll back Biden administration climate rules. "You'll get it on the first day," he reportedly said. Menendez, former chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, is accused of doing political favors for the government of Egypt, an Egyptian-American businessman, and a New Jersey developer in exchange for gold bars, cash, and a Mercedes convertible. Texas Congressman Henry Cuellar was indicted May 3rd for allegedly taking $600,000 in bribes from Azerbaijan's state-owned oil and gas company and a Mexican bank. He could face decades in prison. Campaign finance complaints will likely be filed against Donald Trump, but it's unlikely the dysfunctional Federal Election Commission would take action because there were no gold bars involved. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
On the TV, where he comes from.
হ্যালো, আপনারা WGXC 90.7 FM রেডিও স্টেশন শুনছেন একরা ক্যাটস্কিল হাসন থেকে, শ্রোতা সমর্থিত হ্যানজন রেডিও কলম্বিয়া এবং গ্রিন কাউন্টি।
We're joined by Melanie Trimble, who is a director of the Capital Region New York Civil Liberties Union. And we've asked Melanie to come on to talk about the Equal Rights Amendment, which is going to be on the ballot in New York this November. Melanie will be actually speaking on Wednesday, May 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Bethlehem Public Library about this topic. But Melanie, what is the Equal Rights Amendment, and why is it important for New York to adopt it?
Well, the New York State Constitution protects the rights of people for their religious affiliation and their national origin, but it does not cover a lot of things that we feel need to be protected, including LGBT rights and a woman's right to make choices about her own body. And we know that legislatures across the country and other states are changing the laws to basically infringe upon the rights of individuals. And so we want to protect people's rights from that political whim, and placing these protections in the New York State Constitution by a ballot initiative is one of those ways to then make it even more difficult for politicians to insert themselves and infringe upon people's rights without real consensus.
Now, there are a number of, categories which are articulated in the provision, including sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, pregnancy, pregnancy outcomes, reproductive health care. You know, this sort of touches on some of the cultural wars that, unfortunately, the United States seems to be engaged in at the moment. So has there been much opposition to this in New York State at this point?
Well, the law was challenged by some individuals in Livingston County and by one of the Livingston state legislators. And that challenge survived its first, its initial look. And so right now we're waiting to, we are filing an appeal, or at least the ballot initiative committee, which is working on this measure, is filing an appeal, I think, as so is the Attorney General's office. And hopefully it will, you know, remain on the ballot in November. But that, because there are groups and individuals working in opposition to passing this, we think it's very important to make sure that people who are democratically minded, who are interested in protecting the rights of the LGBT community and a woman's right to choose and other many other rights that are written into this amendment, that they will be the ones to come out and vote. We know that New York State is a progressive state, a blue state, and if people were to be aware of the ballot issue on the back of their ballot when they vote in November, that the yeses will far outweigh the noes, despite the opposition that we've seen so far.
Can you perhaps provide some examples? You know, you mentioned New York is, you know, a relatively progressive state, and so a number of these issues have already been, you know, enacted into law in terms of providing some protection. But are there some examples of how this particular amendment would strengthen those rights moving forward?
Well, in particular, it protects a woman's right to choose and pregnancy outcomes, so that you know, they can't be prosecuted if they happen to suffer a miscarriage and need some additional medical help. You know, there are, these things need to be protected in the Constitution, so that the wave of conservatism in some lawmakers in New York State doesn't influence how many people's rights would be infringed upon. So, you know, there are many things that can be protected, including the transgender community, which we've seen have a lot of backlash in certain areas of the country. And we want to make sure that transgender individuals are protected.
Now, if us senior citizens, you know, we, you know, remember the so-called initial Equal Rights Amendment, which was to the federal constitution, I believe started back in 1972, that was primarily related to equal rights for women, and you needed two-thirds of the state to pass. Rapidly got support in 30 states, but never quite got to the two-thirds. You know, why was the Equal Rights Amendment defeated, you know, over half a century ago when it first came up?
Well, I can't, I'm not certainly an expert on that historical period. I can tell you I was voting at the time and very disappointed that we weren't able to get that amendment passed. But what I can tell you is that if New York State does pass it, does pass our Equal Rights Amendment, it will be an example to set for the federal government to propose it, and we'll try again. Because we've seen how diminished women's rights have become, and I think that a lot of people across the country are just really worried about more infringement. And so we may be looking at a national ERA again, and it would be great for New York to lead that cause by voting for ERA in November.
Now, you're going to be giving a talk on Wednesday, May 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Bethlehem Public Library about the Equal Rights Amendment and more. So what will be some of the things you'll be covering at your presentation? Why should people attend?
Well, we're going to be talking about First Amendment rights. There are some groups that have had difficulty having libraries provide space to them because of some controversial issues. And we're going to talk about what individual rights there are that still exist in our country, and in our state especially. And so I think it's important for people to come, first of all, to learn about the ballot issue and all the nuances that are involved in getting us to pass this ballot initiative, and plus just talking about, in general, the infringement on First Amendment expression, particularly banning books and library use.
What are some of the groups, you know, that are, you know, opposing this? You mentioned certainly the backlash in certain quarters against transgender rights, but, you know, are there other groups out there that are actively campaigning against this amendment at this point?
You know, I'm not aware. I'm not on the BIC to the ballot initiative committee. I think that they are doing extensive surveying of counties around to find out where in New York State is the issue a questionable one to be passed. And we're not going to focus on areas that are very anti because, you know, we don't need to convert anti-rights people in order to have it passed in New York. What we want to do is focus on the people that would be interested in voting and getting them out to vote. We know that ballot initiatives often fail just because the public is not aware of them and they do not turn the ballot over. We want to make sure that people are aware that this is happening. And if they are aware, our belief is that it will pass.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, I think it was some voter rights initiative, which basically the Democrats who had proposed it just assumed it was going to pass, it didn't do anything. And the Republicans spent millions of dollars opposing it, and surprisingly, it went down. You know, in the last minute, are there particular bills that are actually now pending before the state legislature, which also expand human rights, equal rights that people might want to be aware of?
Oh, there's so many, particularly in the criminal justice area, you know, parole reform and second look. I think we got second look out, you know, but there are a lot of places. There's even 13th Forward, which would prohibit us from continuing to enslave people in the prison system in New York State. You know, they're not paid. They're paid pennies on the dollar for jobs that they do. And then there's no safety net and no financial gain for people who have been in prison for many years to use when they finally are released. So that's a big one that we hope will move forward before the end of session.
So we're out of time. We've been talking with Melanie Trimble, director of the Capital Region of the New York Civil Liberties Union. People want more information about the Equal Rights Amendment. There are places they can look.
Yes, there's a website that they've set up, New Yorkers for Equal Rights, and it's just nyequalrights.org.
Thank you very much, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Here is Pharaoh Sanders' Themby on 90.7 WGXC. We'll be right back. Farrah Sanders with Thembi on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Thank you.